The Alaska Marine Highway Reshaping Work Group, as it's called, is chaired by Tom Barrett, a former Coast Guard admiral with logistical experience working for Alyeska Pipeline Corporation. The group's most recent meeting was July 16th. Members have been poring over data from a $250,000 study commissioned by the Dunleavy administration that concluded privatization of core services isn't a realistic option.
None of the studies, the dozens of studies, have come up with the idea that any private operator could run the system and make a profit.
That study laid out scenarios for running the state's ferry system on a $24 million subsidy, the amount Governor Dunleavy had originally proposed shortly after taking office. Winnetta Iyer's day job is to run a public policy think tank in Anchorage. She says that low target was counterproductive.
It is very likely if we drive the system down to a $24 million subsidy, not only are we critically injuring the system, but we're probably just stepping over dollars to pick up dimes because it's going to cost us so much more as a state.
As the working group tries to identify what a minimal level of service would be, Iyer's hopes they'll remember the food shortages and other struggles some coastal communities faced last winter when the sole mainline ferry broke down. Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman said the question of food security isn't limited to just coastal villages in Alaska. The ferries are part of the state's emergency supply chain.
In the event that there's a catastrophe in the rail belt, we've been told at the Finance Committee that it's probably unlikely that they're going to be able to fly in enough food to take care of the population base there, and the Marine Highway become an essential corridor for keeping those Alaska citizens fed and watered.
There's at least one vocal ferry skeptic in the group. Tony Johansson, a Fairbanks-based highway contractor appointed to represent roaded communities, has been critical of the Alaska Marine Highway System's expense. He urged the working group to take a look at the size of population served in relation to the amount of money required to provide ferry service.
And consequently, I think there are some people that should not be served by the system. But I would think one of those groups of people is where we're spending $250 million to build a boat to service Southwest Alaska.
He's referring to the long-stalled federal capital project to replace the aging ferry Tustamina, which runs from Homer to Unalaska in the Aleutians. His remark opened up a classic dispute between rail belt versus coastal Alaska communities.
It's frustrating to me to hear, well, we can't do that just to serve 14,000 people.
That's Representative Louise Stutes, a Kodiak Republican. She's been an outspoken critic of the governor's cost cutting.
And then I hear about the huge cost. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Building the road from Anchorage to Fairbanks wasn't cheap. And it sure as hell isn't cheap to maintain it and do all the work that DOT does on it.
Members agreed that money alone wouldn't fix the ferry system's woes. Many of its problems stem from waste, mismanagement, and poor planning. Politicians on the call took aim at past political meddling in key decisions over design of the fleet's ships. Here's Senator Stedman again.
Every governor has a different idea, and sometimes back-to-back governors are, 180 degrees out.
That offered an opening for Robert Venables. He chairs the Marine Transportation Advisory Committee and has been a proponent of a reform effort to make the Marine Highway a public corporation with more autonomy rather than an arm of the state's Department of Transportation.
I agree with everything that's been said, and I think the way you get consistency among governors is if you find if you take that decision away from the governor's office and you put that decision for the design of these vessels into the hands of naval architects and marine engineers.
He says the two Alaska-class ferries, built at a cost of around $120 million, have yet to deliver. The only one that's been launched is currently tied up, and that's because it was configured as a day boat, and without crew quarters, doesn't have the range to serve many coastal towns. Its sister ship, Hubbard, has yet to ferry a single passenger.
I mean, it's mind-boggling to me that the Hubbard took 3-4 years to build, and then the state's owned it for 2 years. There's no plans for revenue service. It's a brand new boat.
The working group is tasked with defining what essential levels of service are for coastal communities without road access, how to make the fleet more efficient, and perhaps recommendations to change the way the ferry system is run. Its report is due at the end of September. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.